Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone.
The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Simon Tierney joins us once again. I'm wearing one, Simon. You rarely do, in my experience. I speak, of course, of the cardigan.
Yes.
I suppose what's different about what we're talking about today is there seems to be a specific time when it popped into being rather than it gradually evolved or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. There's very little evolution here. This is something that landed in 1854 and it hasn't changed a huge amount since. But if a gentleman from the mid-19th century was to regard you now from the other side of the room, Sean, as you're wearing your cardigan, mm-hmm. he would assume you were about to go into battle.
Really?
He would. The cardigan is a military garment, and its origins are purely from the Crimean War. The Crimean War, which I knew very little about before I started researching the cardigan, was a very important conflict for the British. They lost over 40,000 lives. But there was one particular battle, the Battle of Balaclava, which also spawned another piece of woolen clothing. Basically, the Crimean War was brilliant for the knitting industry, essentially, is what we can all
take
from
this. I feel to win this battle, a good jersey will protect me.
Yeah. So the Battle of Balaclava took place. The Crimean Peninsula, modern-day Ukraine or Russia, depending on your political allegiance. And it was particularly cold at the time of year that this battle took place in 1856. Now, a gentleman by the name of Thomas Brodenell, he was the 7th Earl of Cardigan. So his title comes from a small town in Wales. Now, in Welsh, the town is called Ceredigion. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And that means Ceredig's land, so the land of Ceredig. Ceredig was a man who lived there in the 5th century.
Okay.
This was a title that was handed down to earls over many, many generations until this man, Thomas Brodenell, came along in the 1850s, and he was the Earl of Cardigan. Now, he led the Light Brigade. The British Light Brigade is basically a regiment of infantry, which has a very long history, but he led this particular regiment during the Crimean War. He was known as a dandy. He had very foppish tastes, and he was also a very wealthy man. And in those days, often the head of a regiment would outfit their own regiment, their own soldiers themselves, the way they wanted to dress them, which is quite bizarre. So you'd have soldiers
like
from
a bunch of dollies.
Yeah, you'd have soldiers. Yeah, exactly. You'd have soldiers from all different regiments, not necessarily wearing the same uniforms. So, in the tastes of the Earl of Cardigan, he decided that with this chilly weather on the Crimean Peninsula, that he was going to dress his men in his new favourite garment, which he was the first man to wear, which he didn't have a name for at that point.
Okay.
But it was essentially a close-fitting, waist-length woolen jacket buttoned up the front. Now, his personal one was fur-lined for extra warmth, and it had a braided trim around the edge of it. Now, he wore this into battle, and he was known to spend £10,000 per annum on dressing his troops, which comes to about €1 million in today's money. So this guy was spending a huge amount of money dressing his troops. So that was fine, but what was really key to his jacket, to this new jacket, was that it was made of worsted. Now, I'd never come across worsted before. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Sean. It's a type of high-quality English yarn, which was what was first used in this type of jacket. So that's fine. The Earl of Cardigan wore this jacket into battle in the Battle of Balaclava. And they're all wearing their cardigans and balaclavas and they kept very warm. But this was a disastrous battle.
Is this the actual charge of the Light Brigade?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Made famous by Alfred Lord Tennyson's poem. It's considered one of the greatest disasters in British military history. Without going into too much detail, there was a huge amount of miscommunication about trying to recapture guns, which had been taken by the Russian troops. So it was a disaster. 1/6 of the Earl of Cardigan's men died.
Yeah, because that battle is, even though it's kind of it's the subject of this poem, and people recite this poem as you know, an exemplar of the English pluck and spirit. It was like a bunch of idiotic generals who obviously spent more time putting their soldiers into stupid outfits rather than thinking about, oh, will they all get killed if they run down that through into that valley?
Absolutely. And that's why it's called the Charge of the Light Brigade. It shouldn't have been a light brigade that were sent into that battle against hundreds and hundreds or thousands even of these Russian heavy armoured troops.
Yeah.
Instead, Cardigan went in with very lightly cavaliered men.
But they looked great.
But they looked fantastic in their cardigans and their balaclavas. Anyway, obviously, you know, communication was much more limited in those days. The Earl of Cardigan arrived back in London and he told a tall tale. Many descriptions of the battle that I came across suggested that the Earl of Cardigan abandoned his men and actually rode his horse in the opposite direction to the direction that his troops were going in. And that's the story of many people believe that's what happened. Now, when the Earl of Cardigan arrived back in London, he was treated like a hero, like a military hero, because this battle was so famous, but it was famous for the wrong reasons. And there was so much mythology, and there's still so much mythology about this battle. It's bizarre. But he was entertained at a reception by Queen Victoria in Windsor Palace. Everyone wanted a piece of him, and his likeness was painted and sold on the streets by merchants. But when his likeness was painted, he was always portrayed in this jacket, waist-length jacket made of worsted wool. And slowly, people began to realise that no one else was wearing this jacket. So they decided to give it a name, and they called it the Cardigan. This is what Cardigan wears, so we'll call it the Cardigan.
Hmm.
And it became famous. Now, by the time the truth of the Charge of the Light Brigade came out, the word cardigan had already caught on. And from the mid to the late 19th century, the cardigan begins being manufactured very heavily in British industry. In fact, the first ever mention of the word cardigan that we have written down comes from 1867, and it's from none other than Charles Dickens. And it was he wrote this in the year of the Earl of Cardigan's death. And he writes, if I can find it here. Yeah, he wore, I remember very well, a knitted sort of waistcoat or jersey, an article called in the cheap linen drapers' shops a cardigan. So even from Dickens' words there, we can see that this was already, less than 20 years after he famously wore it in battle, it was already something that was considered quite cheap and available to buy in stores on the streets of London.
Yeah, and in those days, given the reasons why Lord Cardigan originally developed it, was it a jumper that you'd wear underneath something, or was it a sort of jacket?
No, and that's why at this time it was often called a cardigan jacket, and indeed the Americans called it a coat, is because people really didn't know how to define it. I mean, how does one define a cardigan? Is it a jacket, or is it a pullover, a jumper? You know, I think essentially at that time it was considered something that would go under armour to keep you warm.
Yes, I would define a cardigan as just a jumper with buttons.
Yeah,
really, is what it is. Paul says that the skeleton of the last surviving horse from the Charge of the Light Brigade is on display in Collins' Barracks in Dublin.
Wow, that's brilliant.
I did not know that. No. Yeah. So obviously it became more popular.
Yeah.
And it turned into, perhaps from in Dickens' era, a kind of a relatively cheap item of clothing into something more fashionable.
Yes, absolutely. And to be honest, the Americans and the French are responsible for this. The Americans for men and the French for women in terms of the gendering of cardigans. Now, in the early 20th century, indeed from 1906, we have evidence that the cardigan was being talked about in Vogue magazine. But the Americans, for some reason, in the 1910s, trade journal articles begin to change the word cardigan to the word sweater coat, only in the United States.
Ah.
And for a long time, cardigans were known as sweater coats in that part of the world. And then we have what was called the jumper wars. So The jumper, coming from the word jupe in French, which means a short jacket, because jumpers originally were more smock-like than the jumpers that we use today. But there was a big war in tailoring between the jumper and the cardigan. And cardigan makers really pushed back against jumper makers, and it got nasty, Sean, is all I can say. Particularly fisherman roll-up kind of polo neck jumpers. The cardigan makers accused the jumper makers of creating a garment which was unhygienic, not a thing of beauty, clumsy, and my favourite one, undoubtedly the cause of sore throats. So if you don't want to have a sore throat, wear a cardigan.
Yeah.
Because it won't irritate that part of the body. Now, so as I say, the sweater coat became very popular in the United States. It also became very associated with two particular things. First of all, motoring. So a gentleman, when he got in his car, he would wear his motoring cardigan.
So do I. I still do. My motoring cardigan, ready at all times.
And his motoring gloves and his cap and all that. There was a huge amount of clothing involved in getting in the car in those days, which we've kind of, I don't think it's a real shame that we've lost all those kind of motoring accoutrements. Anyway, and the second part was the preppy college look. Mm. It was very associated with baseball culture in American colleges, kind of Ivy League preppy college wear, wearing the cardigan. Then in the 1920s, we see a big change when the cardigan gets for the first time to be adopted by women. And there's two reasons for this. The first reason is Coco Chanel, who we've talked about a number of times in this slot over the years. She had such a profound influence on fashion in this part of the century. But she gave a great quote later in her career when she was talking about why she developed the cardigan for women. She said, "I cut an old sweater in two. I sewed a ribbon around the collar. Everyone went crazy saying, 'Where did you get that?'" And she explained that the reason she made a cardigan, why she cut a jumper down the middle and put buttons on it, which was her first cardigan, was because she was sick of putting on jumpers which ruffled her hair.
Yes, that's exactly my experience.
No doubt that's
too,
why
yes.
You wear cardigans
indeed,
also,
yes.
Sean.
Yeah. And again, it's part of the reason why I wear it. Cardigans did get associated with a kind of macho culture. Which is...
Absolutely. Yeah, this idea of the kind of boyfriend clothes was even it's a thing nowadays, but it was even a thing back in the 1920s and 1930s, especially on college campuses. But, you know, girls would adopt the kind of the clothing style of their boyfriends or that kind of thing. But as you say, macho culture played a huge role. You'd have your hunting cardigan, you'd have your motoring cardigan, and all these kind of macho pursuits.
That's the interesting thing about the cardigan, really, in that it has so many associations and so many uses in the sense that, you know, as you were saying there, it was seen as a very preppy, very kind of neat look.
Yes.
But the most expensive cardigan ever produced was a big sloppy one that belonged to Kurt Cobain.
Yes, yeah. Sold a couple of years ago for, I think, around $150,000 in auction. It had a cigarette burn in one pocket. It was made of lycra and wool and some other things. But that's the most expensive cardigan ever worn. And now that isn't, well, I suppose there's macho culture and there's macho culture. But what's important, I suppose, the way we view cardigans now is that, you know, we don't wear them for motoring or anything like that, but they became associated with more of an academic kind of look in the 50s and 60s with two important people. Firstly, Harold Macmillan, the former British Prime Minister, used to regularly sport a cardigan. And the second person is the character of Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady.
Yes.
Rex Harrison wears a cardigan throughout that movie, and he's very bookish and very, I think he's a professor, isn't he? So this idea of kind of the learned cardigan wearer,
smoking a pipe.
Yes. Started to develop. So
very stinky pipe too.
Yes.
Eamon says there was a Worsted Mills in Port Leash, which closed in 1970.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we were contributing to many of the world's cardigans. Simon, thanks a million for coming in. Fascinating as ever. Simon Tierney there.